Welcome to our Saturday simulcast. I am joined by Tom Dienhart, who is our beat writer for Purdue football, as everyone on this podcast and simulcast knows. And it is only the 5th of June, but you know what? We're going to be in camp in 60 plus days, as amazing as it sounds. And we're going to talk a little bit about, kind of take, as Tom would say, a deep dive from his opinion into what we will see in Purdue football, at least from a June 5th perspective. I want to thank and our sponsor, the Union Club at Purdue. It is a Travel and Leisure World's Best Hotel nominee, Indiana nominee, I should say. Voting is now open, so visit PurdueUnionClubHotel.com for more details and to show your Purdue pride. Also, you can become a member of GoldenBlack.com by clicking on one of our free trials and just about all of our stories. We have a tag on there. We would highly recommend that you do that. Become a member of GoldenBlack.com. All right, Tom, it is June the 5th. It is the, you know, we think it's, it is a busy month, obviously, with the transfer portal and recruiting and the start of recruiting camps for Jeff Brohm, but also a lot of work being done to look at this 2021 season. And I'm going to not rapid fire, but send you some questions, at least that are on the top of my mind as I look at this upcoming season. And I guess the, you know, an overall first question is, what do you think is the biggest question facing this program heading into the 2021 season? If you had to put your finger on one or two, what do you see as that looking down the barrel of an important season for Jeff Brohm and company?
I'll give you two. One sort of an intangible, one a tangible, Alan. I guess the intangible is you wonder about the overall confidence level of the team, right, Alan? I mean, they haven't had a winning record since 2017. They've been a little bit of a funk the last 2 years. Again, nothing's greater than sipping from that cup of victory, right, to fuel your confidence level and how you feel about yourself in life, no matter what it is. And there haven't been a lot of wins the last couple of years, so you just kind of wonder about the mojo factor, if you want to call it that, the confidence level of Purdue headed into the year, and how are they going to, you know, how are they going to deal with adversity when it hits, Alan? It hits all of us in life, and how do you respond? I mean, that's the key, and how will Purdue respond to that first punch in the nose this year will be very interesting. I think tangibly, you have to talk about the defense as being the biggest question. All the change on that side of the ball is well documented. Totally new staff, front to back, new scheme, a big injection of transfer portal talent as well, Alan. A lot of new moving parts on defense. Third coordinator in 3 years. Can this unit be better, Alan? Three areas, buddy. They got to get more pressure on quarterbacks, get more sacks. Number two, they need more takeaways. And number three, they have to get better at getting off the field on third downs. And it's going to be interesting to see what this defense looks like, how it performs. We all expect it to be more aggressive. So, again, the confidence level of Purdue overall as a program and how this defense looks to me are two of the biggest questions as we approach 2021.
You look at that, and that's, you've identified two of the things. Do you look at it and say, maybe this is an impossible question, but is it more important for this program to establish itself kind of as that Jeff Brohm identity that we saw in 17 and 18 offensively? Or is it really, if this program is going to take a step forward, is it really important that defense gets better? If you had to pick one of the two, what is there a way to do that as you evaluate this 2021 season?
I think Jeff Brohm's going to come out guns blazing this year. You got to be aggressive. And he talked about that time and again in the offseason. Defensively, especially, Alan, more press man coverage, more blitzes, more chances, more pressure overall, et cetera. And I think offensively, you're going to see that as well. And maybe I think a revisit to maybe more of the swaggering style of 2017 that you alluded to. The offense could be pretty good, buddy. I think there's plenty of skill talent there to make it go. The question on that side of the ball is going to be that offensive line, as it usually is in West Lafayette. They lack the depth, but there's still some personnel questions I think they have as a staff about that front. They've devoted two full-time assistant coaches to the offensive line, Alan. probably never happened in the history of Purdue to have two full-time coaches devoted to one position. You don't see that in college football. So again, that shows you the emphasis Purdue's put on the offensive line. So yeah, I think we're going to see a devil may care attitude offensively and defensively when it comes from play calling and scheme goes. And you know what? Why not? You're going to have to take a chance here at Purdue, and I think you're going to have to always hang your hat on the offense, right? Purdue's probably always going to have to score close to 30 points a game if it wants to win. They certainly are probably going to give up their share of points. So, again, it's probably still going to always bounce back the offense at Purdue, especially this year. Going to have to probably carry the load and score its fair share of points if Purdue wants to get to a bowl game.
And obviously, the operative question, you wrote about it on the site this week, is and we got surprised to some extent last year when Aiden O'Connell drew the opening start against Iowa. Is there a leader in the clubhouse now? And who do you think might best fit? And it's almost an impossible question, only because we haven't seen spring practice. We really don't know Aiden O'Connell's. We know he's in better condition after last year's injury. But, you know, all those factors play in for an interesting dynamic heading into that September 4th opener. But how do you handicap the quarterback race?
Yeah, it's a two-man race once again, just like last year, with senior Aiden O'Connell and junior Jack O'Plummer, the main combatants. Purdue also has senior Austin Burton back, Alan, from UCLA. Didn't play a snap last year, but keep him on your radar. And then, of course, the redshirt freshman Michael Olamo from New Jersey, who I think is probably still at least a year away from being a factor here. I do know the staff likes him, though. But again, Plummer versus O'Connell. Part two, right? And like you said, Alan, O'Connell won last year, a little bit of an upset. Staff likes how he throws the football. Throws a pretty pass, a very catchable pass. Teammates like him as well. Just not the most nimble of foot, fleetest of foot, or the greatest athlete. Conversely, Jack Plummer is also well-liked. He's a smart guy like O'Connell. Both these guys already have their degrees, Alan. Jack is a little bit more mobile, even though he's 6'5", 220 pounds. He can move a little bit. Extend plays and execute some quarterback run plays as well. His pass may not be quite as pretty or consistent as Aiden's, but it's still awfully good, Alan. Look at his numbers from last year. He started the last three games, completed 70% of his passes. I think when push comes to shove, I expect Jack Plummer to take that first snap on September 4th when Oregon State visits Ross-Ade Stadium, just because of his more mobile ability to extend plays, like I said, and execute some run plays. Jeff Brohm said he wants a quarterback who can present a dynamic with his feet. And again, Plummer's more suited to do that than Aiden O'Connell. That's why I think Plummer's probably the slight favorite at this point. I wouldn't be shocked. Maybe both quarterbacks play early on. But again, I wouldn't be surprised, like I said, if old Jack, number 13, is the guy who takes snap number one in 2021.
Yeah, another tough question to answer is, you know, we kind of hit on the offensive line, but what is that reason for concern? Obviously, a lot of attrition in the offseason, much of it due to injury, and some new faces coming in. How does this line get better this year in a year where, you know, you're in year four and year five? It's hard to believe. I keep forgetting we did have a 2020 season. This is obviously a key part, but from a personnel standpoint, how does that come to pass in terms of guys that you think will step forward at that position?
Yeah, I do know that the staff likes their depth on the offensive line. As I mentioned earlier, there are still some questions that they like to see solidified up front. You know, I think the interior looks pretty solid. I think you're going to see Gus Hartwig at center. I think you're going to have Spencer Holstedge and Tyler Witt at the guard spots. Then you have the tackle spots. And Greg Long came back, Alan, for his sixth year. He was the grad transfer from UTEP. A very pleasant surprise last year. And the other tackle is probably going to be Cam Craig. Now, they could be left tackle, right tackle. They could flip. That's probably going to be your starting five. So we'll see how that continues to evolve. Purdue wants to be more physical up front. Jeff talks about that a lot, being able to strike guys and knock them backward. you know, there's always those moments and drives where you have to pick up that tough yard to get a first down, the third and ones, third and twos. The field gets a lot tighter. Yards get a lot tougher to come by when you get in the red zone as well. You get inside the 5-yard line, you want to punch it in. We've seen Purdue struggle time and again to finish off drives with short runs. So again, you got to be physical and tough up front. I think those are the two areas Purdue wants to get better at more than anything. And hopefully, Alan, with more maturity, just a natural, organic maturation process. These guys have been in the program for a while now. Tyler Witt's a grad transfer from Western Kentucky, already probably the strongest guy on the team. Purdue's still actually looking, from what we hear, for help on the offensive line in the portal. So maybe they bring in another veteran as well. So they're doing all they can. They know the urgency, Alan. Football is won in the trenches. We all know that, right? You can have all the great receivers you want, the great quarterback, the great running back. If you're not good out front, it all really doesn't matter. And Purdue's doing all it can to get better up front. We'll see if all that work pays off this fall.
You talk about receiver, and obviously David Bell, I think second team all Big Ten, which is hard to imagine, just as good as he was last year. I think he did make one first team, but this is a guy that is as good as Purdue has ever had. I mean, I don't know how else, I mean, in terms of a pure receiver, I would put him in a category with just about anybody. But that offense has got to have playmakers, and who else? David Bell, you can sing his praises, but what else? Who else needs to really come forward? Is it Payne Durham at tight end? Is it a running game that surprises folks? What do you think are the X factors to making that offense a devil may care type offense that I think Jeff Brohm really likes to run, ran in 2017 and 18 for the most part, and would like to get that back in 21?
Yeah, you need some balance, and that sort of gets back to our point about the offensive line and the ability to run the football. I'm not saying Purdue's got to rush for 200 yards a game, but they have to be more consistent and more successful in situational areas as well. But again, if they can get more balance, that's going to make that offense that much more effective, obviously, especially the pass game. If defenses have to worry to a degree about the run game, or imagine Plummer or O'Connell throwing to David Bell, or Payne Durham, you talked about, an emerging tight end, as well as Garrett Miller, a very strong position for Purdue. You know, you talked about David Bell, Alan. Well, on the other side, it's going to be Milton Wright, who sort of like his David Bell light, if you will. Another big receiver who really sort of took that next step last year. Like Bell, he's going to be a true junior. That could be a heck of a tandem on the outside for Purdue. And Alan, the guy I'm picking is sort of a breakout player. Offensively is TJ Sheffield, the redshirt sophomore wide receiver from Tennessee. Alan, coming out of high school, he actually was committed to Notre Dame. Things didn't work out with the Irish. Purdue got the kid, about 5'10", 185 pounds. Sort of made his mark last year as a kickoff returner. He finished number 3 in the Big Ten in kickoff return average last year. Now he moves in the lineup, I think, in the slot position. Rondale Moore's old spot. I think TJ could have a big 2021 with defenses sort of focused on Bell, Wright, and Durham.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting storyline to watch. Talk about the coaching staff. And obviously we've seen the big change in the defensive side, but Jeff Brohm, all coaches that, you know, unless you come in and have unparalleled success, Jeff Brohm certainly did in 17-18 have good success. But now you've hit a couple years where it hasn't been exactly like you would like it to be. And 2020 was a difficult year for everybody on this planet. But how does Jeff Brohm reinvent himself? Has he begun that process by who he's hired on the defensive side of the football? And, you know, coaches he has a long-term contract to Purdue. That's not going to change. And he's here for the duration. But there is a step that if he were sitting in this phone call, would say, hey, we got to make a step as coaches to get back to the level and increase the level of where this program is.
Well, I think always a willingness to change and adapt is something good. Not being stubborn in your ways, not having an ego that's too big to realize that, hey, you know what, maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I need to rethink things. And And if Jeff Brom's been one thing, it's been willing to adapt, at least from his staff standpoint. He knew last year's defense and the style that Bob Diaco ran was not going to work schematically, and there was also some personality issues as well. So give him credit for at least reacting and making a preemptive quick change here, right, before things really got off the rails. And I think he rebounded pretty well with the staff that he put together on defense. A lot of veteran help on that side of the ball. Mark Hagan, of course, we all know for years, the old Purdue assistant coach. Now we're back again working with the line, one of the best in the business. Brad Lambert, another sage mind, is going to call the defense as the linebackers coach. Former head coach at Charlotte. Ron English Allen was a head coach at Eastern Michigan, has been at the University of Michigan. Former player at Cal, was at Florida. Brings a lot of experience to the table as well. And then they have the one youngster in James Adams from Navy. So, again, it's a nice mix of mostly veterans with some youth here. And you think with all that knowledge that it's going to be a heck of an asset to this defense as it tries to improve. And also, Alan, Jeff Brom said time and again in the spring, he's going to be more involved with the defense. And then that's going to be during the week. He wants to know what's going on. He's going to have input. And it's not just going to be where he turns the reins over totally to those guys. Again, he wants to know what's going on. His fingerprint's going to be on that defense. We all understand the importance of this season and the need to win again. And I think Jeff Brom wants to make sure he has all his bases covered.
Yeah, going to be an important storyline as we watch. Jeff Brom has been a head coach. This is going to be his fifth season at Purdue, and he's had a handful of seasons at Western Kentucky. Though he just turned 50 this year, there's a relative, it's not inexperience, but it's just it's another level. Matt Painter went through it and at the men's basketball program too, of having to make another jump. And that's what's going to be an interesting storyline to watch. Let's look at the schedule, and you'll be writing about that in terms of everybody knows now Notre Dame back on the schedule. But do you look at the Oregon State game as almost a winner-take-all situation for Purdue? Or what game in that schedule do you say, boy, this is going to be an indicator of where this program is, or do you have to go to UConn and dominate? How do you look at that as the 2021 season unfolds?
Well, I don't want to put too much pressure on anybody, Alan, but let me just say the season opening against Oregon State is huge. Let's not kid ourselves, right? We all know everybody in the world, every team in the world wants to start fast. That's a cliche. We get it. For Purdue, I think the urgency is even greater given their recent struggles, their recent poor starts. Here you are at home to begin the year, coming off a 2-4 season with a lot of change. There's a lot of anticipation too, Alan. What's Purdue going to look like? You certainly don't want to open up at home and lay an egg against a middle of the road Pac-12 program. So again, boy, Purdue really has to try to find a way to win that game. And if they do, I think it sets up very well for them to get on that trajectory toward the postseason. You talked about going to Connecticut. They didn't even play last year, Alan.
Yeah.
That's a game you have to win. And then of course there's that game at Notre Dame to finish out the non-conference game. On conference schedule, I should say. Purdue's got to be 2-1 at least. They're 2-1. And then again, you're looking at great opportunity when you open the Big Ten schedule, right? You're at home against Illinois, then against Minnesota, Allen. Those are two teams Purdue can win and defeat. And can you imagine Purdue's 4-1 heading into their off week? So again, the schedule sets up for a nice start. Purdue has to take advantage because if you look at the last seven games, boy, it could be difficult to squeeze out two or three wins there, I think.
Yeah, you look at that, and of course, Illinois is a team that Purdue beat last year, and you're right, in 17, 18, and 19, Purdue started slow under Jeff Brom. Actually, last year, your only two wins were your first two games, so that's something that I would think would need to be replicated if you're going to have the kind of year you have. All right. Now the over under, if you believe Vegas and other things that Purdue's been kind of penned in at 5 wins, which is always, it's good June conversation. But what's a game out there? You know, you look at the opponents, you understand the landscape of the Big Ten about as well as anybody. What's a game out there, as you say, boy, this could be a – where Purdue might come in as an underdog and have a chance to pull a surprise? Is there one out there that you might circle on your schedule and say, you know, this is a game that Purdue could get to that sixth or seventh win by winning?
I think there's a couple of them, Alan, where Purdue's probably going to be an underdog. Road games, not a significant underdog, but an underdog that I think they can win. One of them is the trip to Lincoln, Nebraska on October 30th. Scott Frost faces a lot of the same questions Jeff Rom does. He's looking to get his program on track as well. Jeff has had great success against Nebraska. I know they lost a tough one last year at home, but you know, he's won Lincoln, also defeated the Huskers in West Lafayette. So you know, he obviously is not intimidated by Nebraska on that brand. And again, it's a program I think they match up well against. And I think the second one, as crazy as this may sound, is the game against Northwestern, Wrigley Field. I know it's a long way away in late November, but Purdue always plays them tough, Alan. They seemingly lose these close games to the Wildcats. Credit Pat Fitzgerald's team. They always have things buttoned up, and they don't beat themselves. And they're always right in games at fourth quarter, and they finish them. That's what Purdue wants to be. Purdue wants to be Northwestern. And again, the Wildcats did win the division last year, but, boy, they lost a lot of personnel. They could be poised for a step back, a lot of people think, this year. And I think there's a chance Purdue could knock off the Wildcats up there in Wrigley Field. It's going to be a fun game. And again, those are a couple road games, I think, where Purdue's probably going to be an underdog, but has a good chance to win. I would not be shocked if it happens.
Of course, the other question that we are starting to see in the sports world as of the 5th of June is fans back in the stands. You're seeing it in the NBA and NHL playoffs on down the line. We know Purdue ticket sales have been pretty strong and been pretty good compared to 2019 numbers or 2020 numbers, I guess, maybe even better, though there weren't any fans in the stands. Do you think they all come back? Do you think a lot of people buy tickets and it's wait and see? What do you think we're going to see that night game September 4th against Oregon State?
I think it'd be a great atmosphere for a couple reasons. I just think pent-up demand. People, after being denied the chance to go to Purdue games last year, to tailgate, to have that camaraderie, and that big event everybody looks forward to, it was denied all of 2020. So I think you're going to see a big turnout, largely because of that. And again, just a curiosity factor as well, of what Purdue's going to look like here as we go into year five of the Jeff Brohm era. And I think there's some enthusiasm and energy here among the fan base to see if this thing has indeed turned. Everybody's kind of curious to see what this team looks like. You couple that curiosity, the anticipation with, like I said too, Alan, again, with that pent-up demand, I think that the combination of those things could lead us to having a nice crowd on that opening game, that opening night against the Oregon State Beavers.
Yeah, that's going to be such an interesting storyline. We anticipate, I know everybody's planning on full steam ahead, so to speak, with ticket sales. There'll be details that'll be worked out exactly what we'll see and what will be available. But I think there's every reason to believe that we're going to be, assuming that this pandemic continues to progress towards its end, if that's the right way to say it, that you have a chance to get that done. All right. Who's your one player of all the ones we haven't mentioned that you really are going to watch in terms of, you know, is my last question on this Saturday simulcast brought to you by the Purdue Union Club Hotel. Who is that? Is that, tell me who, give me one or two guys. And I'm going to exclude George Karloftis and David Bell because they are the stars of this football team and get the most pub, so to speak. But I'm going to assume those guys we're going to watch closely. But who else? And you talked a little bit about TJ Sheffield, but give me somebody else that you think, boy, this is somebody really I'm going to have my eyes on to see how this player makes a huge difference in 2021.
For me, it's those newcomers on defense, Alan. The raft of transfer portal additions defensively. It's going to be fascinating. About four SEC players. And the one guy that really has my curiosity piqued is the linebacker from Auburn, OC Brothers. Jeff Brohm spoke about him often during spring football, a player who really flashed potential, a player who's going to bring some good athleticism. I think some hunger as well, with something to prove. That can't be understated. I think OC Brothers is a guy who could be a real difference maker at linebacker for Purdue defensively. Keep your eye on him. He can play in the middle or he can play on the outside. Brad Lambert's base 4-3 defense. So watch him. You know, the other guys, Jamari Brown is a cornerback from Kentucky who just got to campus this month. Big cornerback, 6'1", 200-pound guy. He checks all the boxes, Alan. He played football. He started some games at Kentucky in the SEC. He's a guy that could eventually start opposite Corey Trice and get Purdue. Two cornerbacks look like NFL cornerbacks. So those are a couple guys who really have my interest piqued. And one other guy I'll give you is a bonus, Alan. I'm going to give you a holdover guy, Jalen Graham. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a true junior this year from Detroit. Came to Purdue with a lot of hype. Played safety as a freshman. Moved to linebacker last year. Boy, he walks in the door. He looks like an NFL player. This could be the year Jalen Graham really develops and matures into at least an all-conference level defensive player, I think. So keep your eye on number 6, Jalen Graham. If he's as good as I think he can be, it's really going to help this defense.
All right. Optimism is always a part of things 60 to 90 days before the season. There is reason for optimism with Purdue football. There's also a reason for it's going to be a challenging year, and coming off a pandemic and what everybody went through last year and trying to recalibrate this program and get the trajectory where Purdue fans certainly want it. So, Tom, thanks always for your insight. And we want to thank the Purdue Union Club Hotel. At the Purdue Union Club Hotel.com. Make sure you cast that vote too for the Purdue Union Club, as it's is a Travel and Leisure Hotel World's Best Hotel in Indiana nominee. So have a great week, everybody. We'll be back next week at our Saturday simulcast. My guess is Brian Newbert will join us again. We'll look forward to that as well. Have a great weekend, all.